All right, here we are for our nightly Ramayan Katha. So welcome, everybody. We're going to wait till a few more devotees are on. So we are going to speak about Lord Ram tonight, or some of the pastimes that are surrounding the Ramayan. It was very nice to be here with everybody. I am still in Fiji. Probably will be here for a week by Krishna's grace. And we're staying with Sanatana and family and Ramacharya and family. And they're taking care of me. It's a very nice situation because it's the coronavirus time. We are actually pretty much in isolation, being protected by the grace of Lord Sri Krishna. So, we will start chanting Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava Rajaram, Patita Pavana, Sita Ram, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. And tonight we have some very interesting stories. And of course, I'm going to read a little bit from the Valmiki Ramayana, but one story that's really heart-rendering about Sita Devi being asked by Hanuman if she wants him to take her back to see Ram, and then her response and Hanuman's words in that regard. So, very interesting story, and then we'll speak a little bit about Lavanasura, the great demon Lavanasura, who was from Mathura, is where Krishna appeared. So, we'll start. Sita Ram Jaya, Sita Ram, Sita Ram Jaya, Sita Ram, Sita Ram Jaya, Sita Ram, Sita Ram Jaya, Sita Ram. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Bhagavati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram. Sita Ram Jaya, Sita Ram, Sita Ram Jaya, Sita Ram, Sita Ram Jaya, Sita Ram, Sita Ram Jaya, Sita Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sitaram, Jaya Sitaram, Sitaram, Jaya Sitaram, Sitaram, Jaya Sitaram, Sitaram, Jaya Sitaram, Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Hari Bol, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. Ramchandra Bhagawan Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, we are continuing our discussion about the Ramayana, and what I'm trying to do is tell stories or read parts of the Ramayana that you may not be familiar with. Or maybe you're familiar with that particular story, but there's more detail, more bhav in there than you're accustomed to understanding or reading about, because we'll be consulting with the Valmiki Ramayana. Valmiki Ramayana is the original Ramayana composed by Valmiki, the great sage, who was instructed to do so by Lord Brahma and his guru Narada Muni. So, Om Meghanad Timodanda Shah, Gananjana Shalakaya, Chakshur Miditam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, first, we're going to do a little dramatic reading of Sita Devi refusing to be taken by Hanuman back to Shri Ram. So, this is Hanuman speaking right now, Hanuman Uvacha. So, no sooner shall I have spoken to Raghava than he will hasten hither at the head of a powerful army composed of bears and monkeys, or shall I deliver thee this very day from the grasp of those Rakshasas and this present affliction? Do thou climb on my back, O irreproachable lady, and bearing thee on my shoulders, I will cross over the sea. Verily, I am able to carry away the city of Lanka together with Ravana himself. This day, as Anila bears the sacrificial offerings unto Shakra, I shall bring thee back to Raghava on the Prashravana mountain, O Maitili. Today thou shalt behold Ram, who is accompanied by Lakshman, preparing to destroy the enemy as Vishnu engaged in the destruction of the Daityas, and thou shalt see thy mighty hero eager to behold us. O lovely goddess, it's Hanuman again speaking, mount on my shoulders, do not hesitate, is restored through Sashanka as Sachi to Indra or Sarashala to the sun. I shall cross the ocean by the aerial path. O fair one, bearing thee away from here, none of the dwellers in Lanka will be able to follow me. I shall return as I came, O Vaidehi, bearing thee throughout space. Hearing these astonishing words, Maitili, because that's Sita, trembling with joy, said to Hanuman, how canst thou hope to carry me such a great distance, O Hanuman? This demonstrates your monkey nature. How dost thou deem it possible that thy little body should convey me from here to my lord, among my lord, that king among men, O monkey? Remember, at this particular juncture, Hanuman was maybe not that small, but he was about this small because he didn't want to scare Sita Devi away when he first met Sita Devi. He didn't reveal his true form. And now we're going to hear about him revealing his true form. At these words, Hanuman reflected, this is my first affront. And this first affront means insult. He said, this is the first insult that I have suffered. So there's some Kshatriya spirit there. Vaidehi is unaware of my prowess and strength. She shall learn that I am able to assume any shape at all. Thinking thus, that foremost of monkeys, Hanuman, the scourge of his foes, showed himself to Sita in his true form. In order to inspire Sita with confidence, leaping down from the tree, that monkey began to expand in size and grew equal to the Meru or Mandara mountain or a flaming brazier. And that lion amongst monkey of a copper countenance, his body like a mountain with nails and teeth like diamonds, standing before Sita said, I am capable of uprooting Lanka with its hills, woods, fields, palaces, ramparts, and gates, and its monarch also. Take heart therefore, O queen, do not delay further, O Vaidehi. Come and dispel the grief of Raghava, as also Lakshmanas. Hearing the son of the wind god grow to the size, or seeing the son of the wind god grow to the size of a mountain, the daughter of Janaka, whose eyes resembled lotus petals, said to him, O mighty monkey, now I recognize in thy speed which equals the wind, and also thy radiance unto fire. How should an ordinary monkey have reached this land beyond the infinite ocean? I know that thou art able to take me from here and bear me away, but, O foremost of monkeys, I must consider if the consequences are to my advantage. Furthermore, is it fitting for me to go with thee? Thy speed is equal to the wind, and it may render me dizzy, and I might fall from thy back while thou were proceeding high over the ocean, flung into the sea filled with sharks, crocodiles, and giant fish. I should certainly become the chosen prey of those monsters. Nay, I cannot go with thee, O destroyer of the foes, and for thee undoubtedly there is also danger. When the Rakshasas see thee bearing me away, they will pursue thee as the wicked Ravana's commands, and surrounding those warriors furnished with spears and maces, carrying a woman, thou will be beset with peril, O hero. Fully armed in great numbers, those Rakshasas would pursue thee who are unarmed. How couldst thou then resist them and protect me? And when thou art engaged in combat with those terrible demons, O foremost of the monkeys, I, stricken with fear, will slip from thy back. Those terrible, huge, and powerful Rakshasas would then, by overcoming thee in conflict, O excellent monkey, or by turning my head, whilst thou art engaged in flight, I should fall, and those wicked Rakshasas would bear me away and bring me hither, and wresting me from thy grasp. They would tear me to pieces. Victory or defeat is uncertain in combat. If I died under the threats of the Rakshasas, O first of the monkeys, all thine efforts to deliver me will be in vain. Though thou art well able to destroy all the Rakshasas, Rama's fame would thereby suffer decrease, or the Rakshasas bearing me away would confine me in a secret place, unknown to the monkeys or to Ram. Then all thy efforts to rescue me will have been fruitless. But if Ram returns with thee, great will be the chances of success. So she's actually given three reasons at this particular point. The first reason, of course, is that she would slip from Hanuman and see and be eaten by all the creatures in the sea. Second reason is that if Hanuman was successful in taking her away, he would be attacked by all the Rakshasas, and then she would fall into the sea, or the Rakshasas would take her and hide her, and never would Ram or Hanuman be able to find her again. And the third reason is that it wouldn't be good for Ram's glory had Hanuman taken her away, because it would be very embarrassing for Ram that he had to depend on a monkey to do the work that he wanted to do. So those were her concerns. And she has another concern here too. Let's continue reading. O great armed warrior, the lives of Raghava and his two brothers and of King Sugriva depend on me. Having given up hope of delivering me, worn out with grief and anxiety, these two brothers with all their bears and monkeys would end their existence. O monkey, furthermore, being wholly devoted to my lord, I am unable to touch the body of any except for Ram. When I was forced into contact with Ravana's limbs, I was helpless and without a defender, and was no longer in control of my person. If Rama comes to destroy Ravan and the Rakshasas and takes me away from here, it will be a feat worthy of him. I have heard of that great hero's exploits, and I have myself witnessed them. Nor can Devas, Nagas, or Rakshasas equal Ram on the field of battle. Anyone who has beheld him in combat, wielding his marvelous bow, endowed with a valor and strength like Indra's, could understand Ram, who is accompanied by Lakshman, and who resembles a fire fanned by the wind. O foremost of the monkeys, who would seek to oppose Ram, accompanied by Lakshman, resembling elephants intoxicated with Mata juice, showering shafts like the rays of the sun at the time of the dissolution of the worlds? O best of monkeys, do thou bear my dear one and Lakshman with the lord of the monkey host here with all speed. On account of separation from Ram, I have long been consumed with grief. Now, O valiant monkey, make me happy once more. Okay, that's the end of that particular section. I thought that would be interesting for everyone to hear. And now we're going to tell the story. First, let me turn the light on here. It's getting to be the night. Lighting is not ideal, but at least I can read during this particular time. So let's tell the story of Lavanasura, which is a very interesting story. Now, Lavanasura was basically in charge of Mathura. And this story occurs actually in the Uttara Ramayana, after Ram has returned to Ayodhya, and of course Sita Devi has entered into the earth. So during this period of time, this of course time was known as Ram Raj, where Ram was actually the king of practically the whole earth. There were certain areas where there were still some demons. So most places were actually under Ram's rule. And being under Ram's rule, everything was like Vaikuntha. The interesting thing is, when their impious activities be performed in the kingdom, or any kingdom, then so many reactions occur, just like we're experiencing right now. Of course, every class we have to mention the coronavirus. Just like we're experiencing right now with this virus. In one sense, you can say, well, it's a virus, it's, you know, some genetic material, RNA, that's mutating. But, you know, that's simply external. The actual reason this virus is attacking people is because of the impious activities. I mean, of course, you can directly see which impious activities are connected to the virus, such as the carrying or the selling of animals, all animals. And of course, people nowadays, they're actually very upset because they're different wild animals being sold in China, such as bats, snakes, and... But any animal that is kept artificially for the purpose of slaughter or for the purpose of abusing them, which is practically everywhere nowadays, except for some... farms, some ISKCON farms, and some perhaps some other places, the Ahimsa places, where they protect the animals. Those animals produce these different types of viruses, and I'm not going to get into the whole scientific explanation for it, but that's the cause of the coronavirus and all the different coronaviruses that you've experienced, and the flu, Spanish flu that killed hundreds of millions of people. So, anyway, during Ram Raj, it wasn't like that. There were no viruses. People did not die prematurely either. One time in Ram's kingdom, one Brahmin's son died prematurely. And that Brahmin went to Lord Ram and got angry at the king. Because if impious activities occur, it's the king's fault. Not only does the king have to suffer the reactions for those impious activities, but the king himself is responsible for them. That's very important. So if we are having this coronavirus, well, of course, the citizens are also responsible, but the king, president, prime minister, dictator, prince, whatever, or whoever is the head of the government, they're the ones who are responsible for the impious activities in the kingdom. Okay. And so during Ram's reign, there were no impious activities and no coronavirus and no types of any of the virus. But once upon a time, a Brahmin's son died prematurely. The Brahmin went to Lord Ram and he said to Lord Ram, you're responsible, my son died. And Ram took responsibility because he understood there was something impious happening in his kingdom. So he went out, actually took the Pushpaka Vimana, which he had taken from Ravana, and which had previously been under the care of Kuvera. So he took the Pushpaka Vimana and went touring around his kingdom, and there he saw a low-class person doing or performing Vedic mantras. Now that low-class person was not qualified, not because of his birth. We are not advocating the caste system, but because of his activities and his consciousness, he was not qualified. Therefore, it said one should not teach the Vedas to people who are not qualified because it causes impious activities. We understand that knowledge in the hands of a fool or in the hands of an impious person can cause disaster in society. So, Ram found that person and he chopped the person's head off. So injustice in those days was very swift and sure. And then the kingdom was restored to normalcy after that. Okay. So getting back to this whole story of love and Asura, which I said that I was going to tell. Once upon a time, many, many years ago, there was impious activity in Mathura. So here's the state. Here's the story of love and Asura in Madhuvan. So Madhuvan was called Madhuvan because Madhuvan is called Madhuvan after the name of a Madhu, a Rakshasa, the king of the Rakshasas named Madhu. Now Madhu happened to be a good Rakshasa. It's like in the Ramayana we have Vibhishan, who is actually a very good Rakshasa, actually a very pure devotee Rakshasa. It's described that this Madhu is very kind and compassionate to Brahmanas, and he made friendship with all the Devas and the Asuras and the Suras, and everybody was at peace at that particular time. So Lord Shiva was so pleased with Madhu that he gave him his Trishura, his trident, for self-protection. It was actually an expansion. It's not that when Lord Shiva gives his trident that Lord Shiva doesn't have a trident anymore. But he gave him his trident. And this trident, no one could defeat the person who was holding this trident. So Madhu built a palace, and he named the place as Madhupuri, which is actually Mathura. And Madhu had a son. His name was Lavana, who was the opposite of his father. That's an interesting thing. Why do people have children that are the opposite of the father or mother? Sometimes it's because of impure consciousness at the time of conception. Other times it's because of bad association. Like in the case of Krishna's son and Bhumi's son, Boma, by bad association, he became a demon. And he actually kidnapped all those princesses. And later on, Krishna had to kill him to rescue the princesses and marry the princesses. So Lavana was very evil. So when he was a child, this is a story of Ramayana. Remember, this is all Ramayana. He would eat his friends. That's a real Rakshasa. I mean, most Rakshasa, hold on a second. Most Rakshasas play with their friends and are nice to them. So Madhu, the father of this Lavana, or Lavanasura, became so disturbed, he gave his son, Lavanasura, his trident, or the trident that would be given by Lord Shiva, and he drowned himself in the ocean out of shame. So, once upon a time, there was a king, this is another part of the same story, called Mandata, who was a descendant of Ikshvaku in the same dynasty that Lord Ramachandra appeared. And Mandata had dominated the whole planet, and he became very proud, and he wanted to rule heaven also. So he challenged Indra to a battle. Indra said, if you will defeat all the personalities on earth, then I will give you my kingdom. So then Lavanasura, getting back to Lavanasura, defeated Mandata's army and therefore killed Mandata. So Mandata didn't go and become the king of heaven. So when Lord Ram heard this whole story, he promised that he would protect the sages and bring the kingdom of Madhupuri, or Mathura, back to pious activities. So first of all, Bart volunteered. He said, I will go and take care of this. But Shatrughna said, no, I want an opportunity to serve Ram. Because you got so much opportunity to serve Ram before, and look at me. Of course, during the time of Ram's exile, Bart actually remained under the earth, just as Lord Ram slept on the earth, and Bart was under the earth, so as not to be better than Lord Ram. So Shatrughna insisted, And he apologized also for arguing with his elder brother. Because remember, the brothers, they were in pairs. Lakshman was inseparable from Ram. And Shatrughna was inseparable from Bharat. But sometimes there was a little disagreement, but nothing substantial. Lakshman really didn't like all the orders that Ram gave him. Sending Sita Devi into the forest, such as having Sita Devi enter into the fire. So Lakshman, he was pretty upset with these things. And therefore, as a result, when he was given a benediction by Lord Ram, he asked for the benediction of not taking birth again in the next incarnation as Lord Ram's younger brother. He wanted to be Lord Ram's older brother. Now, the interesting thing is when Lakshman appeared as the older brother of Krishna, that's of course Balaram, Krishna didn't really listen to Balaram. He didn't do what Balaram wanted. Many times he opposed what Balaram wanted. So Krishna, I often tell the devotees that Lord Ram sets the best example. He's called, of course, Maryada Purushottam, the personality of good behavior. And Krishna does not set a good example for us. We don't follow Krishna's example. Like Lord Ram was Ekapatni Vrata, one wife, one arrow, one word. And Krishna was, how many putnis? 16,108 putnis. Vrata. Not really a vow. And Krishna was very tricky in many instances. We find in the battle of Kurukshetra that Krishna tricked, at the end, of course, Krishna tricked Duryodhana to cover his midriff so that when his mother looked at him, he was supposed to be naked so his mother could make him invulnerable. Gandhari could make him invulnerable. So Krishna just was very tricky. He said, basically, that you should cover your midriff. It's not practical or it's not proper to be in front of your mother in your birthday suit. And Duryodhana did that, and as a result, he could be killed, or was killed, by Bhimsen. And then other times, Krishna encouraged even Yudhisthira to lie. And the occasion where he told Yudhisthira to say, Ashwatthama is dead. So don't follow Krishna's example. We worship Krishna, we love Krishna, but we don't imitate Krishna. We don't follow his example. He's the supreme enjoyer. Whereas Rama has perfect examples. We fight for Dharma, and that's what we should do. If you're married, just one wife and one life. And see what other example? And one word. We keep our word. If we make a promise, we keep our promise. Actually, when Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world, Prabhupada was shocked when the devotees didn't keep their initiation promises. That really shocked Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was accustomed to a high-class culture. Okay, so getting on the story with Lavanasura. So Shatrughna, he insisted upon going, and he apologized for violating the etiquette, speaking against the wish of his elder brother. So he prepared to go to war with Lavanasura. So Lord Ram gave Shatrughna a deity of Varaha to protect him from Lavanasura. And it's described that this deity that Lord Ram gave to Shatrughna was manifested from Lord Kapila's mind. Amazing, amazing story. So this deity was taken to Ayodhya and kept in Ayodhya and worshipped by Ram. So before Shatrughna left to attack Lavana, or Lavanasura, he was crowned as the king of Mathura. Then he left with a huge army to fight Lavanasura. Lord Ram warned him that he should fight with Lavanasura without Lavanasura having the trident. So Shatrughna was actually very, very intelligent in that regard. So Shatrughna got outside the city and he was waiting for Lavanasura to come out. And in the morning, Lavanasura would come out every morning to hunt animals for his breakfast. Interesting breakfast. And Shatrughna challenged him to a fight, and Lavanasura was very happy to accept this challenge because he was thinking that he would eat Shatrughna for his dessert after breakfast. Rakshasa, that's what happens. So Lavanasura uprooted many trees and threw them at Shatrughna, and a big battle ensued. And Shatrughna pulled out a very special arrow that had been given to him by Lord Ram. And this arrow was Lord Vishnu's arrow that had been used to kill Madhu and Kaitubha, some of the original demons that had stolen the Vedic literatures at the time of the creation. And Ram had given it to him. His bowl, and the whole universe began to tremble. He struck Lavana in his heart, and Lavana died. And then Shatrughna became the king of Mathura, which he ruled for many, many years. So that's the story of Lavanasura, which is also told in the Ramayana. Now, let's see what other stories we have that are usually not related to the time of Ramkatha. I told the story about that. Let's see. See what other stories I have on my notes here that I know. Okay. This is a little interesting note. It's not actually a story, but this is the description in the Valmiki Ramayana about Sita's chastity. And what is chastity? Of course, chastity, as we know it, means to be faithful, but not just faithful. Whoops, I didn't want that to go on. Let me turn that off. Not just faithful, but to be basically one-minded dedication to the object of your devotion. That's chastity. So there's several ways that Sita exhibited that chastity. Of course, while she was with Ravan, we understand that. But there was another way that's mentioned in the Ramayana, is that when she was in Valmiki Muni's ashram. Remember, she was sent away by Ram because this washerman had complained that Ram had accepted his wife back after Sita had been in the house of Ravan. I mean, that was very strict. So, anyway, well, let's go back a little bit. Why would Ram do that? First of all, to show the example of an ideal king. The king had to consider his citizens as more important than his own personal family, his personal likes and dislikes. And secondly, it was the mood of Vipralamba, in which Sita Devi and Ram were more connected. We've mentioned that in a previous class. They were more connected because of the intense longing for each other, which is non-different from the object of love when the object of love is spiritual. When the object of love is material, intense longing is just basically all mental concoction. That's it. Ain't nothing else other than that. Mental concoction. Okay. So Sita Devi was sent away. She was dropped off on the phone by Lakshman. Lakshman couldn't stand it. He started crying. He couldn't look back at her. And she went to the ashram of Valmiki Muni. Now, Valmiki Muni did not explain to the brahmacharis and other people in his ashram who Sita Devi was. So they were questioning, who is this lady that's in the ashram and she's pregnant? What is happening here? Of course, they didn't suspect Valmiki of anything, but they just thought, Maybe there's an unchaste lady in the ashram. That's pretty inauspicious. Okay. So, thinking that, Valmiki understood what all the brahmacharis and everybody else was talking about, and he thought of a test to prove her chastity. Now, right next to Valmiki's ashram, there's a lake called the Shibi Sagara. Sagara means like a lake or a body of water. And Shibi means like a type of a bird. Some people say Shibi is a pigeon, but whatever. It's a different type of bird. And so there's a story about this lake. It's the reason it's called the Shibi Sagara is that once upon a time, there were two pigeons or birds, couple da, couple di. And these two pigeons were, I don't know if you could say they were married. I never heard of the pigeons having a swayamvara or a vivaha ceremony, but they were together, a male pigeon and a female pigeon. And basically they had some kids, yes. So one day the female pigeon was stayed out a little too long, and she was innocent. She was looking for worms. You know, that's pigeon's duty or a bird's duty, looking for worms. So she stayed out a little too long, and the male pigeon said, I don't trust you anymore. Get out of here. And she said, why? And the male pigeon said, because you are unchaste. Who knows what are the pigeons you were hanging around with? And so the female pigeon, she says, we're pigeons. What do you expect? You know, pigeons are supposed to be chaste. Like Prabhupada would sometimes comment in a joking way that if you really want to enjoy this sex life, next life you can become a pigeon. And Prabhupada would say, like 50, enjoy. So, pigeons are generally not known as very chaste. But the male pigeon in this particular case said to the female pigeon that we are in an ashram. You're supposed to be chaste. This is not ordinary pigeonhood. And you should prove your chastity. And so the test he gave the pigeon was that the pigeon should fly over this whole lake. This whole lake is described as like 10 yojanas. Now, for those of you who don't know, a yojana is probably 8 miles. Some people say 10 miles. That means in kilometers, you know, like 14 kilometers or something like that, if it's 10. 14, approximately 14 kilometers. So that's pretty long, like 80 miles, maybe 110 kilometers, or 120, somewhere around there, kilometers. And so this pigeon, the female pigeon, she began to fly, and she was dropping down, 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 and she prayed, and the demigods helped her fly over this whole sea. And then the male pigeon accepted her back, and as pigeons, they lived happily ever after. Okay, that's one story. So, Valmiki, he thought, we should give the same test to Sita Devi. I mean, what a test. And so Sita Devi performed the same test, and she actually flew over the whole ocean, or the sea, and didn't get wet. Amazing. And so then the brahmacharis kept their mouths shut after that time and understood that here was a very chaste lady. So now we're going to talk about chastity. In the Valmiki Ramayana, there's a whole description of chastity. And this is more philosophical or descriptive, to be precise, like the chastity of a woman. So Sita's chastity is known as Uttama. Uttama, of course, means the topmost chastity. Now, of course, just like even in Krishna consciousness, we have Kanishta, which is low, Majjhima, middle, and Uttama, which is the highest stage of Krishna consciousness. That is someone who always sees Krishna, who sees everyone as serving Krishna except for himself or herself, and the exhibiting the utmost humility. So uttama means the topmost. Let's just understand that. So it's described to understand what uttama means. Ramayana describes four other types of chastity. Now, I'll describe what uttama means, and then we'll describe the other four types. Uttama means according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya's instruction, the Shikshashtika. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord. And he shall remain so. Even if I'm brokenhearted, if he remains apart from me and I'm brokenhearted, or crushes me by his embrace, he'll remain so and unconditionally. And this is brought forth in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Radharani, that is, Lord Chaitanya speaking in the mood of Radharani, says that if my unhappiness gives Krishna happiness, then my unhappiness is my happiness. I'm trying to understand what that means. That means topmost love of God is that whatever gives Krishna happiness, I will do. Of course, that's Radharani's position. Regardless of whether it makes me unhappy, sad, happy, or whatever, I will serve Krishna in that particular way. So that is Sita's position. Like many people, they want to enter into the mood of the gopis, but they try to do it, gopis or Krishna's wives or whatever, they try to do it in a very immature, materialistic way. They think it's just a question of identifying yourself as a female and identifying yourself as a dancer with Krishna or as someone who embraces Krishna. But to be a gopi or to be Krishna's wives or to have the mood towards Lord Ram in the conjugal way, because there were people with the mood towards Lord Ram in that way, but of course they couldn't exhibit it like the sages at Dandakaranya Forest. But that mood comes only when one has the utmost self-sacrifice, willing to do anything, to endure anything, to be patient for an unlimited amount of time, if it pleases the object of love. And that's Krishna, and that's Ram. And of course, Lakshman had that attitude, and all of Ram's, Hanuman has that attitude too. That's a prerequisite for going back to Godhead. Anyabhi lashita shunyam, gyanakarma navratam anukulyena, krishnanushilam, anyabhi vilashita shunyam. Shunyam means void of anything else. So, that's Sita's position. If you want to understand Sita, that's how she is thinking. That is how Radharani is thinking. So, anyway, there's other types of chastity that are described, and some of them are okay. Some of them are not so good, but, you know, at least they keep the lady away from others. So, let's read the four types. And it's kind of humorous. And this is also from the Valmiki Ramayana. The first type, which is pretty good, sees all other men as sons, brothers, or father. That's the first type of chastity, and that's actually quite good. Now, going down the line, a lesser type of chastity is one is chaste because that's the social etiquette. What we talk about is social pressure, because everyone will criticize us. Sometimes in Indian society, people act one way or the other, because they're afraid of bad reputation of people talking about them. So that's another type of chastity. And that's not as good as the first type. First type is probably one of the best, not as good as Sita's chastity, but it's good. Seeing all other men as brothers or fathers or sons like that. All right, the third type, The ladies chase because she fears the husband. That's not so great. I mean, it works until the husband's away. You know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. That's the third type. And the fourth type mentioned in the Valmiki Ramayana is the lady has no opportunity. I mean, interesting. It reminds me of a story of an interaction Prabhupada had with one of his sannyasis. And this sannyasi was criticizing some householders. And Prabhupada said, you were criticizing because no one would have you. And everyone laughed at that sannyasi. Of course, Prabhupada was just very humorous with this particular sannyasi. So those are the four types of chaste ladies described in the Ramayana. And the final story I'm going to tell is the story of when Lord Ram was in charge of Ayodhya after he killed Ravan and brought Sita Devi back. And this is the famous story of how Lord Ram was merciful to everyone and how people have to be careful when they have a particular position of responsibility. It's a famous story. So in the Vedic system, everyone had a right to approach the king and the emperor if they had a complaint. Just like we mentioned previously about the Brahmin approaching Lord Ram because his son passed away prematurely. So in this particular case, it wasn't a Brahmin, wasn't a Chandala, wasn't a Shudra, wasn't a Vaishya, wasn't a Kshatriya. It was a dog. So even dogs had rights. Actually, Prabhupada commented in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the animals that are born in a kingdom are known as Praja. And the king is responsible for protecting these animals, just like his children. It's even mentioned by Prabhupada one time that when one gets married, one should consider even the insects in the home like one's children. Of course, you don't treat them 100% like one's children, but you consider and you're compassionate to them like that. So anyway, so once upon a time, Lord Ram was sitting on his throne and there was a dog barking outside of the palace. And Ram said to Lakshman, go see that dog and see what the dog is barking about. And Lakshman went outside and he saw this dog barking. He says, what do you want? He said, the dog said, I guess in English, maybe not in English, but in Sanskrit or whatever language they were speaking at that time, the dog spoke. He said, I have to speak to Ram. I have a complaint. And Lakshman thought, what? A dog having a complaint? So he went to Ram and he said to Lord Ram that this dog has a complaint. You know, he wants to speak to you. And Ram says, show him in. I'm the king of everybody. I'm responsible for everybody's happiness in Ram Raj, in my kingdom. Because the Prophet said, nowadays people want the kingdom of Ram without Ram. What does that mean exactly? That means they want the kingdom of Ram without following Ram's directions. They want heaven without acting heavenly. Or as they say in the Western world, they want the kingdom of God without God, which is insane. So the dog comes in, dog uvacha. Ram says, what's the problem? And the dog says in his language, the problem is that I got beaten by this Brahmin. And Ram says, call the Brahmin. So everyone had rights in the Brahmin's kingdom. Their animal rights. So nowadays, of course, animals have rights only if there are certain animals. Like if you're a dog or a cat, you have certain rights. But if you're a chicken, no rights. If you're a pig, no rights. If you're a cow, no rights. But people are very sentimental with these dogs and cats. So every creature should have equal rights, including human beings. So anyway, so the Brahmin comes in and Ram questions him. And Ram says, is this true? Did you beat the dog? And what was the reason if you did beat the dog? And the Brahmin very nonchalantly says, that day I was hungry. It was a bad temper. I was hungry and I just smacked the dog. And Ram says, you should be punished. So there was the whole discussion. They had all the sages there. At that time, they gave justice very quickly. It's not that the person who was accused could hire a lawyer and get off. Everyone discussed, you know, what's the punishment for this Brahmin? It's inappropriate to hit a dog. Went around and around and around and around, and people had different opinions, you know. Well, I think he should be hit. I think he should crawl around on all four paws like dogs do. Oops, sorry about that. And they never came to a conclusion. So finally, the dog spoke up and the dog said, I have an idea. How should this Brahmin be punished? I have an idea about it. And Lord Ram said, yes, please tell us. And the dog said, I think he should be made in charge of a mandir or temple or something like that. And everyone was shocked. This is a reward. You get to be in charge. You know, sometimes people think in ISKCON that if you get to be GBC, you know, it's a big reward. Well, it's not a reward. It's a service. And it can be a little dangerous service too, which I'll explain in a second using another story. So what happened is that everybody asked that, why is this dog recommending he be in charge of mandir? And Ram said, well, let the dog explain. The dog explained, the reason he should be in charge of a mandir is the reason is that I was once in charge of a mandir. And I had to take responsibility for everything that went on in that mandir. That's why I became a dog. And so they made the Brahmin in charge. And I don't know what happened in his future life. But when you take responsibility, there's a lot of responsibility. You are responsible. Krishna holds you responsible. For example, there's a story in the Mahabharata about this, which Prabhupada told. It was about Yamaraj. We all know that Mandavya Muni actually was pierced with a lance. What happened is, just tell the story quickly. There were a group of dacoits who took shelter in his ashram. And he was pierced with a lance when the police found the dacoits in his ashram because the police thought that he was complicit, he was helping them. So they pierced him with a lance. He didn't die. He broke the lance off, and actually part of the lance always remained in his body. So he was wondering, you know, why did I have to suffer like this? So he went eventually to Yamaraj. And he said to Yamaraj, why did you do this to me? Or, you know, because Yamaraj is in charge of punishments and rewards too. And Yamaraj said, because when you were a little kid, you know, you pierced an ant or an insect with a little piece of grass, and this is what you're getting as a result. He gets so angry with Yamaraj, and he says, Yamaraj, little children should not be held responsible for this. Up to the age of something like 8 or something, they're not responsible. And he said, because you have done this, you have made a mistake, I curse you to become a Shudra. And as a result, Yamaraj became Vidura. And of course, this is also Yamaraj's desire, because Yamaraj wanted to preach, and you know, his particular service is not, I would say, the most blissful service there is. So Yamaraj became a Shudra. So Prabhupada said in his purport, and this is a little frightening for me, Prabhupada said in his purport that Yamaraj is one of Krishna's GBCs, and he made a mistake, he had to become a Shudra. See, he said similarly, and these aren't the exact words, He said, in the same way, he's appointed certain people as GBCs, and if they have to make a mistake, they'll become a Shudra in the next life. So, who has not made a mistake? However, we can serve Krishna in any position. Kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudra keta noi. Ye Krishna tatva veda se guru hoy. That whatever type of family one is born in, and certainly you even have Haridas Thakur, who was born in less than a Shudra family, and he served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very intimate capacity. So this is the final story about Lord Ram will tell tonight. So we want to thank everybody for joining us. We have 46 people watching us, and more will watch during the next day or so. And so tune in tomorrow evening, Fiji time, 6 o'clock in the evening, Fiji time, and it's like 7 o'clock in New Zealand, and whatever time it is in Australia right now, and America, and Europe. I just figure that it's 6 o'clock Fiji time. So thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jaya Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram. Jaya Jaya Ram, Patita Pavana, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram.